Okay, so we're back on the record. I was just checking the sound recording, and it doesn't sound too bad. It's probably going to be a little bit of ambient noise, so please bear with us. And I'm going to go grab food right now. So say something funny while I'm doing that.
Not 100% sure what David is expecting. Why is the volume down so low?
What's that?
Why does the volume down look so low?
The volume?
No.
My volume's just... like way up there.
Now it is.
It's always been like that. So we're at B&J's here. Where are we at? Third and...
Paul.
Third and Gilman. But I was just making a reference that I was here. I used to come here a lot, probably starting about 5 years ago. There was a meeting, NA meeting on somewhere on Third.
Third the street?
Up the other way, like Third and Jennings or something. I forgot. So I was here every Saturday morning. But anyways, I'm here with Mr. Amir. And you are now officially, I thought about this earlier, you're my work boyfriend.
Oh, wait, I'm supposed to be your work husband.
Work husband? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're going to have to work on this.
Wait a minute. This is like our first date, so.
Okay, I guess I can't be your husband just yet.
Yeah.
I
lose
your prize.
Yeah. I've got to work for the husband step.
I feel like it's me who's having to do the work for the husband status. I've tried putting out, but it doesn't seem to work.
See, there's a process that you have to go through. You know, you start out interested, dating, engaged. Recently got an engagement.
Meanwhile, you guys were in 2019. So, with these 1960 values, okay.
No, because they used to, I mean, like the movies back in the 60s, and no, I'm going to say like the 60s, they'd meet each other and like be married.
6 years later, they're still
courting. No, they would get married like the same week.
And yet we've known each other for quite some months now and still just a work boyfriend.
I walk away and you say something. I don't even want to know what you're saying when I walk away.
I said that we have known each other for quite some time now and I'm still just a work boyfriend.
Okay. But this is our first date though.
That is true.
So you could be my work husband by the end of the week.
Oh, you know what? We have another date on Saturday, so...
There you go. Yeah. See?
We can just do our reception there at the Foodie Land.
We need to have a band, though. Are they going to have bands there?
Who cares? I'll just play some City Girls in the background. What a little bit of erasure mixed in, just to, you know, celebrate the two of us coming together. I'm sure Nicki Minaj has ripped off somebody else's. Oh, Nicki Minaj and Madonna, I'll play that. That'll be our song.
Our song. What is going to be our song?
We'll find one.
We have to pick out a song by, Friday or Saturday? I'm going into my notes here because this is what happened at 3:36 in the morning when I woke up this morning.
And you actually put down the time. Okay.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of... That's just how weird I am, though. I just wanted to reference what time I woke up this morning because the past few days, I've been...
Oh, chicken wings.
Yeah. The past few days I've been waking up at like 2:30.
Going to bed so early?
Because I always, it's kind of weird, but when I'm off work, that day that I'm off work and go back on regular schedule for a couple days, I'll sleep for like 3 or 4 hours tops, and then go back to bed at like 6 o'clock at night, and then wake up 6 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
Yeah, but you know me with my, you know how I'm like working 60 hours a week. I usually do that, and it's like nothing to me.
I think I would only find that really hard if I had to do graveyard shift too. I can't, that for me would really throw off my circadian schedule, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
I am not, one of those people who needs like a crap ton of sleep. I just like to be asleep at night. Like, I know when the nighttime hits, my body is like, okay, it's time to shut down. But when I wake up in the morning, I don't care like what time the sun starts shining, I'm up.
Yeah.
I'm up. Now I have to force myself to go back to sleep. Like this morning, I woke up for a brief bit and I was like, oh, I guess I did get up and start my day. And then I thought about it, I was like, fuck this. I'm off today. I'm not doing that. I'm going to sleep in. I'm just going to let the sun just like beam down on my face. And yeah, my day can start a little bit later on. Like, I have no responsibilities today.
Yeah. I'm like opposite end of the spectrum where I, you see what happens with us on Graveyard. We have some weird stuff go down. You worked with us for a little while. And I don't know. I mean, that's just kind of the insanity of my, I guess my brain a little bit, is that I kind of, I enjoy that.
That go, go, go?
Yeah, just the strangeness of working on Graveyard, I think, is what appeals to me. And it's just, I kind of like to know the fact that I'm sleeping during the day when everyone else is working.
See, and that aspect bothers me.
I love it. I go to sleep, and I know that you guys are working away, and there I am sleeping like a little baby.
It doesn't really feel like work so much as just slaving away.
So I'm gonna go over my things on my notes here. I'm going to touch on these real briefly. As some people have known, I'm just going through a struggle these past few days. And I wanted to thank a certain someone for a message that they sent at 11:14 p.m. last night. That was very touching. I'll put it that way, touching. and my friend will only my friend will get the gist of that joke, okay? If they're listening to this in reference to touching, they'll know what it means. So
now I really want to know.
No, you're not knowing. It's between my friend and myself. So, and
okay, for the privacy. Just like
Apple. What's that? The privacy?
Yes.
No. I'm totally locked in. That's only end-to-end. There's no open source on that. Nobody's cracking that code.
You guys, is totally encrypted.
It is, completely. It's encrypted in my head and the other person's head, so I'm going to leave it at that. I just want to thank everybody for being patient, supportive. Last time I did a podcast was in February with Matta, so I'm just been busy with work, and I'm going to cover that in a little bit. And it was funny because I was looking at my stats last night because I'm very analytical in terms of the podcast. And when I looked at it last night, I was at 1272 in comedy, and after I did a little bit with my friend Highway yesterday for next week, I went up to 208. So I may eventually reach number one. I did crack the top 100 when I first started out. I think I got down to like 30. I want to say my number was 38. And then
here's to making the top 20, baby.
Yeah. I'll be happy if I make the top 5 with this one.
Oh, hell, I would be too.
Yeah.
Especially since I, the great Amir.
The great Amir.
Yes.
We need a theme song for you. We need to come up with a song for you.
I feel like anything made by City Girls and I'll be happy. But that's like currently where I'm at. I feel like for me, the music that I listen to represents like just kind of where I'm at in life. And so for a while, it seemed like I listened to only a specific kind of rap. I feel like there's various genres of rap, so to speak, mixed between male and female. And I feel like I've gone back to my roots, and so I feel like, I guess I tend to think of music as hyping me up and like kind of picking up my mood, never to come down or to decompress the way I would say, but as a hype. Yeah, it would have to be something by City Girls. My theme song.
It's weird because I was thinking about this morning when I was listening to music, but I listened to some pretty depressing songs, depressing music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of matches my personality. Is that I have I can go across my music and just look at it, and I can pick out little certain instances of my life and where I was at. And Jesus, there's a lot of depressing, I have a lot of depressive moments. I mean, I have my moments where I have, you know, like upbeat songs,
mm-hmm.
but if we were to go break it down by percentages, I would say 75% of my music is pretty fucking depressing. And maybe that kind of looks at my life in general. What's that?
I feel like I've had to move away from that. So my all-time favorite artist is Mary J. Blige, like all-time favorite artist. But her music can be a little dour. And a lot of times when I'm by myself, not even so much like physically by myself, but just like by myself, listening to music, I feel like if I focus on that, then it brings me down even further and it's harder to pick myself up. So a lot of times I tend to, when I'm sad, when I'm mad, even when I'm happy, I try to listen to like what I like to think of as like hype man music. So that like my mood is just uplifted. I don't, if that makes any sense, like.
It does.
It helps me to not fall into a funk. If I'm listening to something that is just pure party.
So, we work together. We can't, obviously we're not gonna say where, but let's just say that we work with the homeless.
Sometimes for the homeless.
For the homeless. Thank you for that point of clarification. But, I don't know, it's, I started at another shelter, in 2010, I worked there to 2012, and I came back, I've pretty much been a nonprofit since I moved here in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I'm sorry, 2008. I'm sorry, my brain is so scattered today, I apologize. But 2008 is when I moved here to San Francisco and I got hooked up with Glide, volunteering there. I took another nonprofit job with San Francisco City Impact, the San Francisco Rescue Mission, around that time also doing social media for them. And then got into the shelter, working at a shelter system in 2010. But I really feel like in the past, I don't know, probably past 3 or 4 months that I've kind of come into my own,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of working with working with our guests a little bit more, and I guess probably opening up a little bit more as to where I've been and to where they are, and just, you know, it's funny because we don't have the chaos that comes with the day shift or the swing shift, so we're able to like have a little bit more conversation with people. And I wrote a note here, but your favorite person, I mean, just initials, can you think of somebody that's really kind of touched you?
Are we talking about coworker?
No, we're talking about guests over there. If there's somebody that stood out for you.
Oh, God. I feel like they all stand out. So the thing is I have done my best to try to garner personal relationships with our guests, which then I feel like in turn makes it a little bit easier to manage, with air quotes, so to speak. Excuse me. So in each way, I feel like they all impact me in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Is there anybody that really stands out for you, though? I will name two people. One of them, the first one is DP. He has crutches, and he left last week. He's a graveyard person because he comes in at 3 o'clock in the morning and usually leaves at like 7.
Okay. I've never interacted with him all that much. I've definitely seen him around. He seems like an interesting character. SK. SK has the most impact on her. I think she has the most impact on everyone there, but in her moments of clarity, she drops some little pearls on you that are just like, oh wow. You know, it's I'm not gonna say it's necessarily motherly or even grandmotherly. It's more kind of like that great aunt who's just kind of like always been there, and you know, you don't really spend too much time with her, but the few moments and time that you do get to spend with her is pretty, in her moments of clarity, can be good.
Yeah.
She's a saucy old woman. She's a saucy old woman.
I was laughing on Friday when we were sitting at the front desk.
Uh-huh.
And somebody was coming up with her jokes. When she was coming up with her jokes and just, you know who I'm talking about, right? No. The woman who came up. YW. Who came up and was joking right before the class.
Yes.
And I told her that she should be doing stand-up.
Yes.
But it's just stuff like that. I mean, little moments in time that I think about that make me laugh.
I feel impacted by her as well because I'm not a... For me, validation is not something that I necessarily need, as I feel like, honestly, if I can get to a mirror, then I can, you know, talk myself off of whatever ledge. But there's this general positivity that she has, and there's always these compliments, and it just, it makes me feel good. It does. And it's like, for someone who is not where you are in life, but to go ahead and just to like recognize that, like, it, call it shallow, but it feels good to just, for someone, I don't know, to just tell you the things that you kind of just want to hear, or to like reaffirm what you believe about yourself. Someone who has no real idea as to who you are, what your life story is, but there's always something positive that comes out of their mouth every time they see you, and that, yes.
Well, I just think, I look at that, and you talking about that is just how society should be in general, is that we're here to lift each other up.
I feel like now, in today's day and time, I feel like the only time that people know how to lift each other up is on an Instagram post or a Facebook post or some kind of Reddit post. I don't really see people who interact with each other, and I don't really... My friends, yeah, of course they uplift me, but they're my friends, and you know, like, that's just kind of like the roles that we've taken on in each other's lives. But for a complete stranger to come and just like build you up, like, that doesn't happen all that often, you know. And so with her, yeah, it's definitely a good laugh, but it's like, I feel better now, you know. I was feeling a little crappy before, and you elevated my mood. And didn't have to, but you chose to. And yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like while I try to do it with other people, I feel like sometimes it's easy to forget to do things like that. And so, like, at work, I've had to step it up. And so, like, stepping into that supervisor role at work, I'm realizing that one of the things that I try to do with my staff, so to speak, is like, oh, thank you, I really appreciate that, and letting them know that, like, even though it's really their job duty to go and sweep and mop or do X, Y, and Z, like, I really appreciate that you did that and you did it in a timely fashion, and just remind them that, like, you're appreciated, you know. But this is something that is completely unwarranted. It's not even necessary. It's not necessary, but she does it. And it's kind, and it's generous, and it's gracious. And it's uplifting, you know? And it's, again, unwarranted. Like, you don't have to go out of your way to say those kind of things, you know? Like, I feel like the only reason I do this with my staff is because I want the job done well, you know? And here she is, not asking for anything, but, you know, there's a joke or a pleasant comment, and I'm like, thank you.
To me, it was kind of hard because I was trying to build somebody up a few days ago, and it just went to shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I'm trying to process that, and I'm trying to just like, I'm trying to come to terms with that, and it's, I don't know, I'm just
in that particular situation. I feel that it's more or less that some people don't know how to accept those kinds of things. And they have some growing to do, and I feel like self-care is seeing that that person's not capable of that and saying, okay, maybe this is not right for me, and just pulling away.
Yeah.
And being okay with that, you know, and it's like, is there anything missing out of your life if that person is not capable of receiving what it is that compliments or just words of good faith, if they can't receive that, I mean, hey, that's them, not you.
Yeah. It's just strange to me, but it's just, I don't know, life kind of throws you these curveballs, and I think it's like recently that I've been like really kind of having to like accept things for the way that they are, and it's kind of a strange thing.
Um, I guess for me, currently I try to take everything at face value. I understand that people have a belief about themselves that doesn't always translate very well to the next person, so I just kind of leave it at face value. What am I getting in that moment in time? And is it conducive to what it is that I want in my life? I want, in all honesty, nothing but positivity, and I understand that that's not what life is always going to give me, you know? In the midst of, you know, this positivity, I'm being handed some lemons, and sometimes you, like, learning how to just, I'm not gonna say look the other way or turn the other cheek, but it's just like, I'm gonna go ahead and make some lemonade out of this situation, but I also know that this is probably one part of life that I'm just gonna stay away from, you know? Because again, like, I feel like if you're not gonna add any positivity, then there's really nothing for you to add, because at that moment, I already can conduct enough negativity myself for you, and to allow you to come in and do something, no, I can't.
Be safe, be safe. Okay.
This is interesting.
All right, I'm listening. I'm like, 10% of my hearing is devoted to what's going on in the background. I said it earlier, but we're at B&J's. But I get where this person is coming from, because I've been there. I understand. I myself, for me, I mean, I understand self-hatred. I understand just every aspect of not loving yourself and not being in that position to love yourself because of what happened to you at in your childhood, or even as an adult, you know, those times of rejection, being, you know, critical of oneself, being bullied, you know, as a kid. One instance I remember was 10th grade in high school, and I had a bully literally tie me up, duct tape me to a signpost, a pole, after the bus. They went through a whole plan to do this to me, and I'm kind of impressed. You know, I look back on it now, I'm like, you guys actually planned to tie me up to a pole.
Mm-hmm.
So I get off the bus one day, and there's like him and four of his buddies. And they hold me down and they duct tape me to the pole. So, you know,
the 80s were so cool.
But I think about that now. I'm like, you guys actually went out of your way to bully me. But, you know, when you go through stuff like that, you know, and probably when I was 8 or 9 and, you know, gaining a little bit more weight and being fat or overweight, and people making fun of you,
mm-hmm.
And you know, I did the same thing too, and I then turned around and did it to somebody else, and you know, I've been there. I understand that. I understand that self-hatred, and but I'm just not at that point anymore in my life where I don't want to. I want to look at your strengths. I don't want to look at your weaknesses, because I don't. I appreciate people's strengths, and you know, you have weaknesses, and that's something that you can work on. But I'm not going to criticize you about your weaknesses.
Right.
I mean, I think we do too much of that to ourselves as it is. And how beneficial is that to you to be coming across and me criticizing you if you're not doing a certain thing right, you know? I love it. We should interview her too.
Oh God, that would be one hell of an interview.
Yeah. So let's I've been in a weird space the past few days. And I've been out of work for a few days also, so it's kind of a little bit of an adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about you for a little bit.
Okay.
All right. So tell me a little bit about yourself, or tell the people listening to the podcast a little bit about yourself.
My name is Amir. I like long walks on the beach, moonlit dinners, candlelight sets. God, you know what? Honestly, I feel like that's always one of the hardest questions to answer. I feel like it's easy to talk about yourself up until you're asked to talk about yourself. And then all of a sudden it's like, what do I want the people to know? I am a San Francisco native, so I have watched San Francisco change in the last 33 years. Gay black man. I don't know, what do you want to know?
Say that a little louder. You kind of went over that.
I've always been told that I have a radio voice.
You do, but you
I can't help that this background is super loud.
No, go back to what you just said, because you kind of muffled what you said. I want you to say that again for me, please.
What? What's right?
That you are a
gay black male.
Yes.
The last of his kind. Moving away from San Francisco again.
So now it's going from 4.9% to what, 4.823% when you leave?
Something like that.
Yeah. But I was talking with you about this a little bit before we started recording.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always interested in the LGBTQ community and what their story was when they came out. And so I just wanted you to kind of elaborate on that a little bit, if you could.
So my coming out story, I feel like I'm sure that there are other kids who have a story very similar. So I grew up in a mixed two-parent household for a while, and then I was like 11 and a half when we moved away from San Francisco. So everyone knew I was gay. It was, there was no question about it. I mean, I did the gayest shit as a kid. I walked around on my tippy toes. I wore shirts as hair. I wore shirts as head wraps. I played in my mother's closet. My grandmother's closet was even better. So I played in all of these closets growing up. In the mid-90s, I want to say it was like 93, 94, the WNBA partnered together with some high heel shoe company, and they made this commercial with these WNBA players running around on a court playing a basketball game in heels. I think it was Easy Step was the name of the shoe company. And so my mother had a treadmill, and the part of the treadmill that you step onto was backed into a corner. And so on this treadmill, I decided that I would try out these easy steps to see how athletic they actually were on a treadmill. Next thing I know, this treadmill is skinning my knees. I'm with these easy steps trying to get them off, trying to turn off the treadmill and make sure that these shoes don't get messed up, because they were like white leather pumps that my grandmother just absolutely adored. And with only an hour or two to spare, my grandmother was on her way home from work. I was at home by myself, and so I had to tell her, I had to make up some story about why I couldn't walk up the stairs properly because she was looking at me because I couldn't bend my knees because I had skinned my knees. That's just like one of many stories. But so coming out, I was 12, maybe 13. And one day, I had been ditching school for a while at this point. We had moved up to Sacramento. I had been ditching school with some friends of mine. I would go out and smoke cigarettes and things like that. And just, I guess, regular middle school stuff that kids do. So I had been ditching school. So one day my mother sits me down. And she's like, I have something very important to talk to you about. And I have a younger sister. And so she told my sister to go in a room. My sister didn't. She sat right there and she listened to the entire conversation. I thought that I was going to be in trouble for ditching school. Like, I just knew that my mother had finally gotten one of these voicemails or phone calls saying, like, your son has not been at school. And she didn't. She's like, Amir, I love you. I love you dearly. I like to believe that I'm her favorite, but I don't think that's necessarily true, but I still like to believe it. And so we went through this whole I love you, blah, blah, blah. And she says, I have a question to ask you. And the question was, are you gay? Again, 12, 13 years old. And up until that particular point, and up until that very day of my life, gay had always been something derogatory. I was all kind of fags and gay lords and fudge packers. And I mean, these kids knew about things that I had, like, I'm still just figuring out. But there were all these names. And so, like, gay being one of them, obviously, I thought that was like a really negative thing. And so my mother, who I know without a shadow of a doubt loves me, when she said it, I realized that it wasn't a negative thing. It wasn't something to be looked down upon. Doesn't mean that I have lived the rest of my life after that, ever always believing that about being gay, but just my mother asking me about being gay was like, oh, it is okay. And so I remember in that moment, like, I just took a deep breath and I just said yes. And I was sitting across this table from her, and I feel like the table, I want to say it was probably like four feet long, maybe. So I'm sitting at one end, she's sitting at another end, and my sister is like a few feet away in a hallway where my mother couldn't see her, but I could tell she's there. And yes, I am gay. And it was like the first time in my life feeling that, like, that release of tension. And just like everything kind of just like flowed out, and I was like, oh, so this isn't something negative, it's just you have a negative perception of this. And after that, like, I fully fucking embraced being a flaming homosexual. I flamed the fuck up after that. Like, once, because my mother asking me that, and so, like, her follow-up was, I will always love you. I won't always understand, but I'll always love you. You'll always be my son. You'll always be my number one. And so, like, knowing that there wasn't, that being gay didn't have to carry the negative connotation that the school kids had given it, or even the media at that time, because this was like late 90s by this point, but the fact that my mother was able to ask me that, and so it felt really good. Now coming out to my father, not so much of a different story, but my mother dealt with it much better than he did. I believe that both of them, I know that both of them knew it long before I knew it, but the way they had gone about dealing with it had been very different. My mother was definitely more nurturing, even after coming out. I mean, my mother would let me go with her to get my nails done. Like, I was in high school with a full set, and I would get an S curl, but not so that my hair would be curly, but so that I could do finger waves. And I was a very effeminate teenager, and my mother embraced that. And to this day, she still embraces it. And there are times where it feels like my mother wants me to be gayer than I am. And I'm like, you know, I'm not that kid anymore, and I don't really do those things. And she's like, but I feel like that's a part of who you are. And so it's actually conversing with my mother now as an adult, you know, we talk about these things, and she's just, you know, she's still to this day, like, live your life. Like, who gives a fuck what the next person thinks? Like, it's just not for them to decide how you should live your life. And so there are things that I feel like, you know, I'm an adult now, so, you know, when you're a kid, I feel like you just don't give a fuck because you don't know how to give a fuck. You know, the money that you have is not yours. You didn't have to earn it, so it's easier to come by. The likes and the popularity can sometimes be a little bit easier. I've always been a social butterfly. I don't always like people, but I've always been a social butterfly, so it's easy for me to, you know, move in and out of different groups. But as an adult, you learn to dim your light for other people. And so I'm not even going to say it's an issue, but one of the things that I've worked on more so recently is like learning how to allow my light to shine and just not think twice about what the next person thinks, you know. And tapping back into that 15-year-old boy with the full set of nails and the finger waves, and who just didn't care, like, what the next person thought, you know. Because I'm not doing this to make someone else happy. I do it to make myself happy. I am who I am to make me happy, not so that you can feel better about yourself. And yet and still, there's a part of me that lives my life, I guess, just not wanting to be talked about negatively. So I have dimmed my light so that someone wouldn't say something mean about me. And then I remember, I'm like, oh, wait, why does it matter what they think? Like, I don't even talk to you. I don't even know who you are. Like, and so going back to how the kids have put so much effort into bullying you, I don't know where I heard it, but I remember hearing someone say, if that person is talking about you, that means they're thinking about you. And if you're not around for that, that means that you're out living your life while that person is thinking about you. So you have just rented out space in their head for no fee. And so I try to remember that, like, I'll be sitting on the bus, and you know, I mentioned earlier, I love City Girls, so I listen to that. I listen to them a lot. And City Girls, Trina, Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, like, these are, like, it's my hype man music. It's what, when I'm on my way to work, when I come into work and you see me with my AirPods on, I'm more than likely listening to a City Girl song, because I know that as soon as I take my AirPods off, all reality sets in, and then I have to, you know, like, find that way to allow my light to shine and still be a person who can get a job done. And for all intents and purposes, I think I'm fucking killing it. I am killing it. And I'm glad that I work and live in an area where I can be as free as I want to be. Like, I'm not being persecuted for being me. And when I am being persecuted, I just have to twirl for these hoes, you know, and do me regardless of how you feel about it. And if you don't like it, then maybe it's something inside of yourself that you need to look at and question about yourself, because I'm doing just fine over here, you know. I'm not dimming my light anymore and all of that to make you feel better. It's for me, you know, and like learning how to just walk tall and just, you know, being a man these days, I feel like it's not, you know, because you wear boxers or because you play basketball or football or because you watch these sports or because you are that. Being a man is just simply being a man, a responsible adult who's doing what they have to do. Whether you put on a dress at night or even during the day, or whether you wear boxer briefs, hell, maybe you might even like wearing panties, doesn't make you any less of a man. I like full sets and I kind of want to go back to that. Like, I like getting my nails done. It's fun, it's sparkly, and it's this, that, and the other. And why should I not do this because of the next person, you know? So yeah, that's me in a really big nutshell.
What was it like with classmates once you...
Okay, so the females were easier to deal with. One of my best friends, we met simply because so there was a part of my teenage years where I was in foster care for a while. And I was in Fairfield, California, and I want to say this was Fairfield High, and I met this girl, and me and her name is Crystal. Me and her, we have the same exact birthday, same day, same month, same year, everything. And I had shown up to class with these long-ass nails, and it was a French manicure, or no, it was a New York manicure, because I don't really like French manicures, but the New York manicure is just kind of like, the white tip starts like halfway through your natural nail and then just extends to wherever the nail ends. And I love that. Like, to me, that's just like this classic look, right? So I went to school one day, I showed up, and like, I mean, I still wore boys' clothes, and like, I mean, I looked the part, but I had long nails. Like, that has just always been something that I like. And so she came up to me, we started talking, and we just became the best of friends. And like, I always just had a shit ton of girlfriends growing up. Like, I mean, girls love me. And I played that role for a long time. Like, I feel like I played that role of the gay best friend for a lot of women. I will say that at this point in my life, I don't really want to play that role anymore. Like, I just want to be a gay black man who does gay black man stuff. Like, whatever that is. Like, I don't want to be someone's gay best friend. Like, I just want to be your best friend. Like, I don't want to have to tell you about your hair, your nails, and your clothes. Like, can we just go out, like, just put some shit on, like, let's just fucking go out, because at the end of the night, it's all going to look the same. It's going to be hot, sweaty, and sticky. So look, we might as well just put on something, go out, have a good time, and dance like nobody's watching.
So essentially, no more labels. I think as a society, we put too many labels on each other.
Okay, so I feel like in some ways, in all honesty, labels aren't necessarily bad. I think it's just when you limit the labels, that's when it becomes, when the labels are limiting, then I feel like that's where we run into a real big issue is, because I'm a gay black man, I have to be feminine, I have to be into high fashion, I have to want to wear Chanel bags, things like that. And these are things that I do like, don't get me wrong. I would love to have a Chanel purse, I just can't afford the real deal, and I refuse to have somebody say, that bitch is wearing something fake. Oh, fuck, you will. But with those labels, I feel like it definitely helps you at least have somewhat of a general understanding, but also understanding that there's still more to that. You know,
but to me, it almost sounds like a stereotype.
Well, okay, so salt. You know, we think of salt as being something that just kind of like enhances flavor, but then like come to find out, you use it in baking. Like, I just thought it was like something that you put on some chicken or some fries, and like it's good. Add it to a chocolate cake, and that chocolate cake is so much more better. Mayonnaise, you just think of that as being something that only goes on a sandwich. Add that shit to a chocolate cake, and that shit is not only with some salt, that shit is moist, and the sweetness is enhanced that much more. So I feel like we tend to, oh, you're a gay black man, so you only fit in this compartment, whereas there are so many other compartments that I can spill over into, that I feel like the label should only be a way to help you identify something, but not to limit it. Like, I feel like just because I say I'm a gay black man doesn't mean that I need to be limited to those two things, you know? It's just, a way of telling my story, but it's not the only part of my story. You know, it's a part of who I am, not all of who I am, you know. So the labels, I believe that they help, but I feel like people are limiting those words that we use as labels. And I feel like that's where the issue comes, is like, oh, you're a gay black man, so you're supposed to be this, but I'm not, you know. And I feel like in society, if we learn to stop limiting the people around us and ourselves, like, we could be doing so much better, you know. And there are times where even I get caught up in those same labels because I'm like, wait, you're this, but I'm saying that, you know. So labels are not the end all be all. If that makes sense.
It does.
New Looney train, yeah!
I love.
Granted, we weren't waiting for one, but it's still 40 minutes we've been here, and that is the first fucking train that we've seen go by. I just want to point that out.
I know.
Thank God because we were waiting on one to go by. That's why it took so long.
San Francisco hates the baby.
Which is ironic because they're trying to move everyone out of here so that they can have this prime real estate.
Yeah. So now we're probably 45 minutes in. Oh, 51 minutes in. This is definitely going to be a two-parter.
Okay.
Oh, there goes another one. Wow.
Yeah, that's going the opposite way, though.
So, music. Where did you start out? I mean, where did you start out? What do you remember first hearing? And you do have a playlist for me, right?
Oh, God.
You can come up with one afterwards.
I can. So, I'm going to say the first song that I fell in love with was Return of the Mac.
Mark Morris, I meant.
So, for me, as a child, like, if you ever watch a movie and you see, like, black families have a party, like, that was my family. We lived actually here at a baby, so actually not too far from here, down on Oakdale, 1779 Oakdale Street. And
now a historical landmark. Right. I saw the plaque. I saw the plaque when I was there.
So we lived there, and my mother would throw these parties, and I just remember that song, like, every party I went to, every birthday party. It could be a kid's party. It could be a baptism. Return of the Mac, for me, is that song that says, this is a fucking party. Like, it's not a real party unless you hear Return of the Mac. I don't know what it is about that song. I don't even know all the lyrics. I just finally figured out the name of that song, but every time I hear it, it's a party. Like, and just, even if it's not physically, like, I'm at a party at that moment in time, like, my mind goes to a party because that song, to me, just is the party. Like,
Did you see that on my playlist? Music I Love playlist? It's there. Oh, it's there. I shit you not. It is so there. Here, I'll show you right now.
There are so many text messages that we have sent within the last, like, week.
I know, because I'm getting ready for this. It's there. So that song came out in 93 or 94, or is that later? Like,
hell, I feel like it came out. Well, let's just look it up.
I'm on airplane mode, so nobody bugs my recording. It might have even been earlier than that. I doubt it, though. I think I want to say like 93.
I don't know, but I just found another playlist with Return of the Mac as a leading song. I love Spotify for that. I'm an Apple fan through and through. If Apple makes a product, I know that product is going to be fucking phenomenal. But Spotify, takes the cake when it comes to music and music playlists and all of this. Yeah, Apple Music can't hold a candle to it, so I finally made the switch. I have made the switch, you guys. I made the switch.
Yeah.
Spotify all the fucking way.
It's so much easier. But I was joking this morning. I think I joked with you and one of my other friends that Spotify knows when I'm sad because it plays the saddest songs from my playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm a little bit happier, it plays like happier music. I don't know.
So if I admit I have like junkie-like tendencies when it comes to music. So currently I'm listening to this song by this new artist. His name is King Combs. I want to say it's P. Diddy's son. So he has this song, it's called Surf. And of course, one of the group members from City Girls is on that song. So automatically it becomes like number one. And then there's this rapper, his name is T. Grizzly. He's on the song as well. So like, those two together for me, just like, oh, this is so perfect. And so like, it's my song that like I gravitate to naturally. And so like when I find something that I like, I tend to put it in a playlist and I tend to like over listen to a song. Like, it's just, I don't know. So like currently, like that's the one song that I'm listening to like at all moments in time. Like when I walk away from here and I put my AirPods on, like trust me, that's gonna be the first song that I listen to. And then I kind of like venture out into other stuff. It kind of depends, but generally like I'll put that song on and then I'm like, oh, I don't really want to hear this playlist. So then I'll switch to something different. And so lately I've been kind of going back and listening to like 90s music all over again because it's just a little bit of nostalgia. It's also like the end of summer. And so I feel like 90s music, like to me, was just like summertime music. So yeah, like going back to that, like Escape and Adina Howard, Creep Like Me, that, I guess I've always liked raunchy music. Yeah. I do.
So what else do you remember that you first heard that was like?
Brandy, I Wanna Be Down. So I've never been really big on listening to like a whole album. My thing is if you draw me in with one song, then I'll try your album. But if your album doesn't draw me in, then I'm just stuck on that one song that you have made. And I kind of just see you as this one-dimensional person. So for me, in all honesty, Brandy is this one-dimensional person who made like maybe two or three good songs that I actually like. And I'm not like discrediting her, like, because I have some friends were like, oh my God, it's Brandy. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, like, talking about Mary J. Blige is a different story. But Brandy, I Wanna Be Down. Monica and Brandy, The Boy Is Mine. Monica, It's Just One of Those Days. Mary J. Blige, remade, there's something, Rolls Royce? I don't know. I'm Going Down. I do like some sad music, and that's like one of my all-time favorite sad songs. I'm Going Down. Oh God, yes. Even though it's kind of like sad and depressing, I'll still listen to it and still be a little happy. And that's kind of like just what I like about Mary J. Blige, because like I have listened to her music and like it's definitely elevated my mood. And like, it's been some sad songs that have been like, I understand what you feel, girl. Okay, good. Like, I'm not the only one going through this. And so, yeah, Mary J. Blige, like, takes me to church. And that is just...
I added a 90s song recently from Bonnie Raitt called I Can't Make You Love Me. So, that has been in... Semi-rotation. There's another song called Black Cloud. BLKCLD.
I think that was like the first one that I listened to off your playlist. And I was like, oh, this is different for me.
So, but I've got my hip hop influences, but mine are more along the indie
conscious
line. Yeah,
conscious,
I mean, like Aesop Rock. That all kind of started. I think with Public Enemy is where NWA a little bit too.
So I admit that I'm not like, I'm too self-centered to pay attention to other people. And so my mother didn't really listen to NWA, so that wasn't something, or even my father. My father has always liked jazz music, classical, but I want to say like mostly jazz and just kind of like top 40s, whatever is on the radio. I feel like now if I looked at my dad's like music collection, it would be mostly like jazz music. And like, I wouldn't just like jazz, like whatever that encompasses. So my mother, I definitely got more exposure with her to music, but, and my mother allowed me to just kind of listen to whatever I wanted to listen to. So again, like I've always liked crunchy music. So anytime like Idina Howard came on, like she just was kind of like, I guess that's what he likes and he's not out doing drugs and getting high, so fine, we'll just allow this. And I didn't really, like even when I bought my own music, I want to say that the first album I truly remember buying, oh, I turned 18, I believe, and Trina's album had already been out for a while, like a few years at this point, but I bought her first album, The Baddest Bitch, and I forced my mother and sister, they were just held hostage every time I got a hold of a radio or a CD player, and they were forced to listen to all this eat my pussy, let me suck your dick kind of music, and I don't know, like, and then there was Lil' Kim, La Bella Mafia, that, yeah, I like that, and I think I just, slowly we moved into streaming music, slowly but surely, so like, I was definitely a part of that, like, never really did LimeWire because my mother was just, you guys don't need a computer, you can use one at school, so never really had a computer, so LimeWire wasn't a thing. I had a friend who would make CDs for me, so for a long time it was just mostly like really R&B music mixed in with like some rap, so Usher and Mary J. Blige and Mariah Carey and gospel music. I love gospel music. Like, there is nothing like some good gospel music. I don't actually have any on Spotify yet, just because I haven't had one of those moments where I was like, a come to Jesus moment, so like, I haven't downloaded any gospel music, but like, have you ever heard of Martha Minuzzi?
No.
Thought I was going to get some brownie points with that one, but okay, fine.
I'll listen to gospel, I'll listen to pretty much anything, but I mean, I kind of, you saw how my playlist is. I'm at 776 or something. I'm at some crazy number of music that I love, but it goes across all genres of music, almost all genres of music. But I'm kind of like where I'm at the surface, and I don't dig any deeper with artists. I might listen to something. I might listen to an opera. I might listen to a symphony. I might know your basic work, composer's work, stuff like that for an opera or for a symphony, but I don't go to the Baroque period and go pick out people from that period,
mm-hmm.
and go, oh yeah, this and that. I mean, I go into the 80s. I mean, 80s is kind of like my my favorite time.
Mm-hmm.
And I can delve pretty deep there. 90s, so-so. Maybe a little bit from 2000 till now. 60s, 50s, going back to jazz. I mean, I can pick out the artists, but I don't delve too much farther. I mean, sometimes I do, like I'll put it on Spotify and just let it just go with whatever, if there's like a particular song.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was very much a singles person growing up, and as I've gotten older, I've grown to appreciate albums more.
I still don't really appreciate albums. I feel like some of your work is good, and then I'm like, who allows you to put this? Why are you making me listen to this? So I'm not really super big on albums. I kind of just, yeah, I'm a singles kind of person.
Well, after a certain period of time, I mean, artists will sign 5 record deals, and that 5th record sucks.
Oh shit, what are you talking about? I think the first record sucks. I think the first record's
the best. Because this is what they were discovered.
Okay, so I'll tell you who really turned me off of the album. So I actually, Mary J. Blige, I've always loved her albums. I feel like I have not listened to an album and haven't been able to like relate to every song that she has on there. Mariah Carey, I feel like the only album that I've ever really loved all the way through is The Emancipation of Mimi. And then Nicki Minaj comes along and like all of her mixtapes were, I'm just gonna go ahead and say, phenomenal. And then she came out with her first album and I was just like, who is this made for? Because it was not made for the same people who were listening to your mixtapes. And for me, I became dissatisfied with albums. Like, I had to go back to just listening to singles because, yeah, her albums have been rather shitty.
Well, they're made for mainstream America.
Yeah, I don't care. You know how you got, so I feel like mainstream America doesn't mind you talking about sucking dick and eating pussy and doing it up the butt and selling drugs and shooting up people and their families and things like that, because guess what? City Girls is, they're doing just fine. And so Nicki Minaj, I feel like, is trying to like make this crossover where like people can listen to her music in like their car with their family, and that's great, but it becomes lackluster, and I feel like now you're only a feature artist, because the only time Nicki Minaj is actually good is when she's featured on somebody else's album that doesn't give a fuck about John McKay playing her album for his entire family on a road trip, you know? I prefer that kind of music. I prefer you remain authentic. Like, and I feel like she's kind of lost me as a fan, because I don't feel like she's being completely authentic with her music. I feel like she'll jump on someone else's album and do exactly what she started off with, but then makes her own album for a 14-year-old girl who lives in like suburbia somewhere.
Oh, you don't think you have to come up with a name? Mm-hmm. You're not gonna come up with a name, a city in the state? Come on.
I believe that this music is made for John McKay and his family who lives in Illinois somewhere.
Where though? Champaign, Illinois?
Yeah, sure, we'll say Champaign. No, think of some back road. As a matter of fact, no, we're going to take this shit down to the Bible Belt.
Holy shit.
So it's made for John McKay, who lives down in the armpit of Texas, and he can listen to Nicki Minaj's whole album with his 10-year-old daughter in the car and not feel like she's going to end up being some slut.
I got a city for you though.
Oh,
Texas. Frisco. I'm just throwing out a random.
I feel like I've been to Frisco, Texas. Wait, is that North Texas?
I have no idea. I'm thinking of Frisco.
Frisco, Tyler, I mean.
Tyler, Texas, yeah.
Oh God. But I feel like that's who she's making her music for, so that some middle-aged Caucasian woman can feel good about herself, and that's great. Don't get me
so
wrong.
So she can
that's
go
great.
Shake. So well, so she can go shake it on the dance floor.
Yeah, but so
with her 30-year-old boyfriend.
Yeah, but I also still would like to be able to hear Nicki Minaj's album still. Now her last album I feel like was a lot more true to her natural soul versus the few albums that she had put out before. I felt like those albums were not made for a hip hop audience. Her last one I feel like reached out to the hip hop audience a little bit more. Not that I need to be top 40s for all of America, you know. It was like, I'm gonna go ahead and limit myself a little bit, and I was fine with that. And that's okay. Like, I feel like if somebody really likes your music, they'll listen to it regardless of how they feel. I cannot tell you how many times I've been in the middle of suburbia somewhere and saw like some older middle-aged white woman listening to City Girls. Like, I'm shocked and surprised by it, but it doesn't matter what you're saying in your music. I believe as long as you remain authentic to who you are, then people will listen to it no matter who they are. Like, I'm sure there's a pastor out there listening to City Girls. Like, I don't know why I keep referencing them. Cardi B, finally go with Cardi B. Like, there's a pastor out there that listens to Cardi B, and not that cussing pastor on Instagram. I mean, like, there's a pastor out there who probably listens to Cardi B because guess what? She's telling a story that he might can relate to, you know?
Well, two things. I'm of the opinion that artists are only good for three albums.
I would limit Mary J. Blige to that. She's done well so far.
I think there's exceptions to the rule, definitely. And in reference to the... I'm going to call it a closet listener.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I take that over to somebody who is like anti all these, like, I'll take a politician that passes all these bills against the LGBTQ community.
And then they come back.
You find out 5 years later they're having sex in the bathroom with another man.
That's always interesting.
I don't know why I had to throw that in there or around that, but
It makes sense though. Like
everybody has a guilty pleasure.
Well, so here's the
thing.
Mine
is Britney Spears. Mine is
if you
Katie
seek
Perry.
Amy. If you seek Amy.
Okay.
If you seek Amy. Oh my God. Britney Spears low-key made me fall in love with her with that song.
I love like 70s how do they call it? 70s love songs. Okay.
Okay.
That was me growing up. I mean, 1976. I was five years old. Maybe 78. I mean, this is AM radio, and you're getting like all these love songs coming out. The Carpenters, Kool and the Gang, Earth, Wind and Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like an influence for my dad. My mom was more country. My dad was more funk.
Okay.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Country is one of those things that I wish that I could find some songs that, because when I hear country music, there were times where I've heard country songs and I'm like, I would like to find out not so much more about this artist, but I'd like to explore some more of their work.
Go back to 90s country. Because country today, I mean, and that's the problem I have with mainstream music today, is that there's no substance to it. I don't feel like they're...
Well, I feel like music is now being made I'm not going to say differently so much as... I believe up until probably 2000, like, you can make music, and you were making music because you wanted to make music. I feel like music now is being made because it needs to be made. Like, people need the song, and so they're only... And I feel like songs nowadays only have an expiration date. You know, and then like 2 years later, it's on some oldies station. It's like, wait, that song just came out, you know? And now it's on an oldies station? KBLX is a station here in the Bay Area, 102.9 KBLX. And there was this artist, her name is SZA. And SZA had this song where her and Travis Scott were essentially talking about fucking, and in the worst way. And to hear that song on KBLX with all these like 40 to 70 year old people listening to this, I'm like, do they understand what the fuck she's saying? Like, even though there's a lot of stuff being bleeped out, I'm like, if they're listening to this, do they really get the gist of what's being said? Like, you have to listen to this. Oh god, when I think of the name of the song, I'll send it to you. But it's SZA and Travis Scott. Like, I think they've only made one song together.
Well, let's just go to 50 Cent Candy Shop. I mean,
well, there you go. Wait, I feel like that's been played on KVLX too.
That so, probably have.
I mean, just like, you've been traded in.
Which one? Right there?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
So much for your daddy vibes. You should embrace them when you had the chance to.
I can speak a little bit of Spanish.
I just like, I'm not going to say that. That sounds horrible, but.
Yeah, going back to that whole story. I don't know what it is today, or what it has been the past few weeks, but...
Yeah, your daddy vibes, huh?
I've been giving off dad vibes to men.
So,
but... And it is so funny.
Embrace that. I mean, you don't have to actually have sex, but...
I laugh at that. But and I'm gonna go back because I didn't touch on this earlier when we were talking about this. But, I think the one thing I've learned this year, I mean, my big thing for me is not being ashamed of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And not being ashamed of where I came from and what experiences I've had.
Well...
Because, well, this is the first time I will openly admit this.
Oh.
I think I've only told...
What are we admitting? Oh God, I wish this were being taped so you could see.
It is just being recorded right now.
Video recorded so you could just see, like.
It's something I told you last week that I was with, when I was 12, I was with another boy.
Okay.
No big deal.
I thought we were going to go into the new and juicy stuff that you're thinking about trying. Guess that's another topic for another show, but okay.
But. You know, and the cue is brought up for questioning, but as I said, I've already answered the question. But
yeah, but you're too young to really know. Now that you're older, more set in your ways, like, I mean,
I enjoy women,
and I enjoy men.
Yeah, and we embrace our differences. And I think going back to where we were before is that we. I don't think we as a society embrace our differences. It's always like, well, you're this or you're that. I mean, and it's just like political, the shit going down now is that you're automatically closed off once.
And that goes all back to using the labels in a negative sense versus using them to just help you to somewhat identify with a person. Instead, I feel like labels are being looked at like nowadays, like, oh, it's less of an identifier and more of a way to compartmentalize someone. And I feel like we have to remove that compartmentalization of what a label, we think a label should be. Because, I mean, gay looks this way and straight look, we all believe that gay looks this way, straight looks this way, lesbianism looks this way, but not all lesbians meet and are married by the second date, and not all gay men want to suck dick and get fucked. I mean, and not all straight men want to be the most aggressive male out there. So I feel like just because you say you're a heterosexual male doesn't mean that you have to be like, oh, I'm macho. Just because I say I'm a gay man doesn't mean like, hi girl. You know, like, you don't have to be those things just because that's what people perceive about your label. You know, and I feel like if we just let go of the perceptions of what the label is, and then we can like, oh, there is more to this, because there are a shit ton of gay men out there who love football, and not because they get to pat another man on the ass, but because they actually like being physical. I personally am only looking at football because I'm like husband shopping and hoping to see like that what do you call that thing that you wear underneath your pants when you play sports, the jock strap lines, like I'm nasty. Like, I'm just, I'm kind of pervish. But, you know, like, that's why I like looking at football. I know gay men who love playing football because they genuinely love the sport. No, heterosexual men who want to be the sub in their relationship with a woman, you know? So it's like, why is it that because you say you're a heterosexual male, it has to be ultra aggressive masculinity, or because you're a gay man, it has to be some like toxic femininity, or because you're a lesbian, you have to be some aggressive bull dyke, you know? Like,
well, and going one step further, and somebody was commenting about this the other day, for a bisexual female. And the comments that were made to her, what was it exactly? Are you going back to men? You know, all kinds of the stupid comments that you get, that the threesome and all, you know, just all kinds of stuff like that.
So I feel like that's one thing I will admit that I don't quite understand. I guess because to me, in my mind, and again, like, my limited perception, you know, and I'm not gonna like pretend like I don't as well have a somewhat limited perception of certain things, and these are things that I don't quite understand, or it's just not a part of my everyday life. My biggest question tends to be like, let's just say you are a bisexual male and a bisexual female within you two meet, and are you now cutting off another part of yourself? I think that's where I tend to have a question with that particular, like, because there's like the duality there, and it's like, okay, so but you're only with this one person, and I understand that, like, and especially in an area like San Francisco where you do have people who are willing to be open and explore like open relationships and things of that nature, I again tend to think of being of relationships as being you and that one other person. And you know, I'm not afraid to admit that I have in some areas of life my scope is limited, you know, and it is, and I'm willing to explore. Explore means that I might try it myself, so but the closest I'm getting to exploring a woman is couple porn. I love couple porn. I do.
If you were observing, the closer you get to a woman, be observing the woman, right?
Cuckold
if you were like
porn.
If you were like a gynecologist.
No, God, no. Look, I've seen plenty of them. Gucci's not for me. But I love some Gucci.
I just think we as human beings are curious about things. I think we have X and Y chromosomes. And there are people that appreciate both sexes. That they love aspects of a woman, or they love aspects of a man. And I have my man crushes.
Yet I haven't been listed as one.
Well, I'll tell you, this Jake Gyllenhaal, Paul Rudd. You're gonna love this.
You're into twinks.
Wait a minute. Donald Glover.
The actor? Oh, so there is some hope that you like black men. As a black man, that excites me.
But there's a beauty in all of us, which I find.
Donald Glover, not Samuel L. I feel like his voice would be more.
Samuel L. Jackson? No, only because he does Childish Gambino also. Dumb.
Okay. Oh, him.
Yeah.
This, okay.
This is America okay. him.
Yes. Okay.
But.
Okay. I was thinking of the actual just actor.
No, think of him more than that.
Oh. Oh, so you like him young and twinky. Okay. See, and then you can't embrace your daddy vibes. How is that? Like, your whole little man crush is like guys who used to be twins and are now like just kind of like ottery, I guess you could say. And can a fat black bitch win, please? I'm just saying. I mean, all of this.
I appreciate, but I mean, I appreciate the beauty, I guess, in every person.
Right. No, I definitely.
And I think I think that for the, I don't know, this is just me thinking out loud.
There he is.
Is that, you know, people don't always identify as, I don't want to be here, I don't want to be here, I just want to kind of be a mixture of everything. And I think that's what we as people are also, is that we are kind of a mixture of everything. That we've got a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and especially this day and age.
Yeah, I feel like...
Is that we've essentially cross-pollinated everywhere.
Well, I also feel like one of the other issues is people aren't willing to say that, like, I can admit that, like, I've been attracted to a woman, not sexually, but, like, I really like your vibe. Like, there's something about you as a woman that is just so sensual and so beautiful, and I just, oh my God, like, I just want to be in your presence. It's more or less that I just need to be in your presence because you emit this aura that just says, like, I don't even know how to describe it. I just want to say that aura that admits come fuck me, but I don't really want to fuck you. I need to be in your presence though, because you embody this sexiness that is just otherworldly. And it's not like something purely physical, like, oh, you just look this way, but it's more like just the way you carry yourself. I love to be around a woman who's like strong and Denise. I know that there are a lot of people at work who are like, she's crazy. But I love that she owns who she is, and she's unapologetically her. I love that. Or even like our big boss, you know, like I love that as a Latina lesbian, she unapologetically admits, and it's not even a femininity, it's very masculine nature, but she's admitting her most authentic self, and I love that. I love when I see that in a person. Just being your most authentic self, and it doesn't... There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's just, this is who I am, and I love that. That definitely turns me on, and not in a sexual way, it turns me on. It gives me a mental boner. But not a physical boner.
And I appreciate that about people. I appreciate that people are not ashamed. Like I said, if that's one thing I've learned this year, is not to be ashamed of who you are. Or, you know, where you come from. So let's wrap this up in like 10 minutes or so. We haven't even talked, we barely even touched on music, but that's okay. I knew that we were going to be talking about more things than music today. Pretty impressive, huh, that we can do that?
Yeah.
So, your favorite music, and then close it out with what you're listening to today. We kind of already talked about City Girls and mm-hmm. a couple of other artists that you've been listening to recently. So let's go into the middle aspect of it. What's some of your all-time favorites? I mean, we've touched on Mary J. Blige.
Adele.
Can you think of Adele?
Aretha Franklin, Mary J. Blige, Adele, Monica, those, I like Usher, not Q-Sweat, Genuine. I definitely like, I'm gonna say like, it's really R&B music. R&B, like it speaks to who I am. And so, like I said earlier, like really kind of like going back to like some of that early mid 90s R&B that like I started off with, and like just kind of like also looking at like how my music tastes have evolved from there. I like a good beat. Like if your beat is really good and it just, you know, the opening of the song is just like captures me, then I'm there for it. And like I try to give people that benefit of the doubt and the chance to like hopefully be great, and not always.
I think there's been songs that have like I listen to that I really love that have like a 2-minute intro. And then they get
that's the music
singing.
From the 70s. Oh god, I can't.
No, not even that.
Fifth Dimension. I don't remember if she was like actually a part of the group, because it seemed like back then like there was a group and then everybody had an individual name in a group. But the woman who sang with Fifth Dimension, One Less Bell to Answer. Things like, oh god, yes. That, I also, EDM, I love that. There's something about like just it being like just music and like these sounds that come together and form music. And I listen to that sometimes and I'm like, oh, this is a vibe. It's also really good for sex. EDM music is.
Yes, it is.
It is. It's very good for sex. There was this time with this Australian DJ. Yes. It makes me feel like a natural woman.
Yeah. I was kind of, I was with a woman and we would listen to like Deep House.
Okay.
And let's just say I got pretty deep with...
Oh, you got deep in her house, huh?
I had to go there.
I respect it.
You know I was going to go there.
I respect it.
Little naughty boy, though. I just had to go there.
It's about time, because I feel like I've been the only naughty one here today.
Well, I didn't want to interject too much. I wanted you to talk, because... I love hearing people's stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes if I know something about somebody, you know, I'll chime in with my little 2 cents, which I've done before in other episodes. But I was just kind of, I was really curious. I knew this was going to be interesting, and it definitely has. And I'm just like looking out at this city has changed so much in 11 years. And if I come back 11 years from now, it's going to be completely different.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's just, it's, this, we're always changing. Every day is different. But I don't know where I'm going with that. But I just wanted to just like sit back and kind of listen today. I'm not really in the mood to talk or joke around too much, but I appreciate that you've joked and you've talked about things, and I've truly appreciated that.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. And I relish this, and like just, so we definitely have talked about music, but what I appreciate is that we can come together and that there is no question about this friendship, at least not for us. And I appreciate that we get to joke and talk and, you know, I hope that, like, the flirtatiousness feels fun, but it's, like, it's good that, like, to have, like, this male bonding on a level that doesn't have to be gay. You know, it's just, like, two guys who come together, hang out, and they're having a good time, and it's just, it teaches me something, hopefully teaches you something, but, like, the fun and excitement in that, and, like, just... And it's not like this male bonding that revolves around some, like, I'm gonna say, I don't wanna call it necessarily toxic masculinity, but like just this male bonding that doesn't revolve around like, oh, we're guys, so we have to, you know, we can only interact one way. Like, it's cool that like, your background is different, my background is different, we come together, we find our commonalities, and it's great, and it's amazing. And, you know, so I thank you for that opportunity, because like, a majority of my experiences with guys, especially heterosexual guys, is like, is very limited. And so it's just seeing someone who's just like, yeah, this is who I am, and that's who you are, and that's that. You know, like, we're two people enjoying each other's company, and it doesn't have to be anything other than that.
Right.
Like that. I'm enjoying it, you know.
Yeah. And Foodie Land in a couple days.
Oh, yay.
Yay. Well, thank you again. And we'll have a playlist for you on Spotify.
Yes.
You'll send me some.
Yes.
You'll send me your songs. I'll put it up.
Are these my top 10?
However you want it. This will be under Amir. Just straight Amir. Everybody just gets a first name. And I even give a bonus song sometimes too. Like 10 songs and a bonus song.
Okay.
So if you want a bonus song, you're more than happy to include one there.
Okay.
I gotta go find a hat, a baseball hat.
Where do you wanna go?
Oh, I'm going over to Fisherman's Wharf right now.
For a baseball hat?
Mm-hmm. For a baseball hat. I know. That's the heterosexual. That's the heterosexual part of me.
Are you saying someone else you know? That bus.
No, not about, I know the bus. I know the 29. Baker Beach, yes.
Oh.
Oh.
You should go to Baker Beach before the sun goes down.
Not today.
I mean, not today.
Not
but,
today,
you know,
my friend.
Before it becomes complete. Well, shit, it's always winter in San Francisco until about August, so.
Well, just until it gets warmer again.
Yeah, until about August next year.
Although, it'll get warmer next month again.
How about this year has been kind of interesting with its summer, but...
Yeah. It's been a Karen. Have you heard about the Karen, the Tropical Depression Karen?
Oh, God.
This summer here in San Francisco has been Karen. So... You're pulling for Karen, but Karen just can't get it together.
Oh, God.
The comments on Twitter were just absolutely hilarious about that.
But that's too much for me.
I love it.
It's too fast-paced.
Oh, that's what I love about it.
I sent a message to this guy. So my Twitter is very... if you actually look at the things that I like on Twitter... I don't know how you're going to feel if you're not a gay man, but...
How would I feel any differently if I'm...
Because it's all visual. I only like the visuals.
And I like to... And I'm more analytical. I like to read. People like are like visual or they like it right, you know, in written. But I'm all about dissecting stuff. I have like Al Jazeera, BBC...
Okay, so...
All kinds of different...
If we're talking about news, so I have an issue with news as of right now. I feel like even with some of the major publications, I keep seeing a bunch of typos in there, and that fucking pisses me off. nothing drives me crazier than to get on Apple News to look at the Washington Post and be like, who the fuck edited this shit? Like, this is the fucking Washington Post and this is what you have going on? Like, the fuck do you mean? Or the New York Times? So, like, I don't mind reading these publications, but I have a hard time with if it's not actually going to print. It seems like there's a bunch of typos, and I don't like that.
No.
Or that it's written, or that the sentence structure is poorly written. I'm like, are they just letting anyone write now? Can I have a job writing? Because I could write some much better articles. Like, I mean, these are... Oh, God.
I hear you.
We're not even going, oh, God.
No, I've been picking apart...
That is a very big source of contention for me.
Yeah, I've been picking apart the... it was like the Chronicle. I stopped reading the Chronicle because it just was infuriating to me. I went over to the Examiner... And now they're starting to like throw all this these typos in.
I
love the New York Times, but I just don't have the time to read the New York Times. So, I mean, I stick with the Examiner, it's local, but I've been seeing like 20 million typos.
Yeah.
On Twitter, I'm reading the article and I go into the Examiner website, I see all these typos, I'm like, I just give up and I can't look at it anymore.
I feel like it's much better to just, okay, so when it comes to news, I'm not really big on, like, the news. And for me, I feel like it's because it's too depressing. I feel like we have become a society that glorifies the depravity of, like, human nature. And I feel like all we can ever talk about is like how bad someone is, or like that there was these murders, and I'm like, why is it always about a bunch of murders and things of that nature?
I'm sorry, guys.
Get ready to close. Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Like,
we're getting kicked out. We're gonna get the bounce on us. But yeah. So, thank you again. We're gonna finish this up right now. And clocked in at I think 1 hour. Oh, 41 minutes and 25 seconds. We are impressive. So, MFM Podcast 1 on all the social media. And thanks again to Amir. And we're getting kicked out. Goodbye. Until next week.
We're not even fucked up.
I know.